Marzo.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 432, stanzas 437, stanzas 1 and 2. No longer, Lord, despise me, nor in thy wrath chastise me. Thy mercy I implore. How long thine anger cherish? Consume thereby I perish. My soul is troubled sore. 1 and 2 of Psalter 437.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Matthew, and thereof chapter 11. But before that, we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Matthew chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the markets, calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and the help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, God of heaven, God of earth, God of thy own people, for whom thou hast decreed and also merited salvation, and to whom thou wilt also give it, giving them understanding hearts. For they are the babes to whom that thou wilt reveal thyself, hiding it from the wise and in the prudent, and the prudent, leaving them all behind. As thou hast thanked also thy own Father for the judgments that thou dost bring upon those who do deny thee and who have no need for thee in their hearts. O Lord, they did come up when thou wast here upon this earth. They came up and thou didst see into their heart the reasons for which they came up. What went ye out for to see a reed shaken with the wind? And what went thou out to see a prophet, O Lord? Thou who seest the inmost thoughts of our hearts knowest what we come out also in this afternoon to see and to hear, whether there is any need in our heart, any soul trouble that burdens our hearts, that we may be brought to a true confession of our own guilt and our own sin, that we might smite upon our own breast, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wilt thou show unto us our great need, for we are all the same, born, conceived and born in sin. And it is so necessary from the oldest to the youngest that thou wouldst work for the first time, but also by renewal. For we are they elsewise who are piped unto, but who do not dance, and who are mourned unto, but we do not lament, that we cannot make one tear to flow from our eyes over our separation from thee, our missing of thee, and a transgressing against thee, hard as another millstone. O Lord, that thou wouldest not judge us according to our sins, For it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for us, having received so many blessings and so many benefits, and having heard so much and been taught from the days of our youth, and remaining with a heart that is so hard and that is so cold. O Lord, could it be that there are cries that come up to Thee, and that to say, Lord, break my heart, and my hard and stony heart, and give unto me a heart that is contrite, and give unto me a heart of flesh, and take away the stony heart out of my flesh, and that it may be broken in spirit before Thee, and that I might find truly a place at Thy footstool while it is still called today, that I might learn to enter in through that straight gate and to walk upon that narrow way that leadeth unto life. Oh, that thou wouldest also show unto me Him who is precious unto all Thy people, that He may become altogether lovely also unto me, unto my dear children, that we may not miss that blessed portion of those who may speak of Thee from the bottom of their hearts with great awe and life and tenderness and love. O Lord, make jealous of the blessed portion of Thy people, and to draw the hearts out after Thee, the true and the living God, who made us and who didst create us for Thy glory and for Thy honor. Oh, that we may not be forever judged for our sin and for our iniquity, to be punished with an everlasting punishment, where there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Oh, the devil is as subtle as the serpent, more subtle than all the beasts of the field, so that he is tempting man, both old and young, in the most devious ways, with religion and with the world, to draw men after error and to draw men after sin. O Lord, that Thou wouldest put away the devices of that prince of darkness, and that Thou mayest remember us with our dear children and our grandchildren, both young and old, that Thou wouldest turn us from all of our evil ways and draw our hearts in tenderness and in mercy unto Thyself. Remember our young people. When Satan does tempt into ways of sin, when we do hear things with our ears that does make them to tingle, that our young people, they also do sin with one another in ways of adultery. O Lord, wilt Thou give understanding hearts, for Thou dost say, he that committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. O Lord, that Thou may give a true sorrow and a turning from this sin, which is evidently becoming more rampant even among us. O Lord, that Thou wouldest spare us from these things, and that we may be given a true repentance and never to mock with that holiness, and that Thou wilt have between a man and his wife, as Thou wilt have it also between Thee and Thy church. O Lord, that there would be no turning away from husbands and wives, that there may be love for one another. O that Thou mayest work it as Thou hast given marriage, and that Thou mayest turn from all the sins, also the sin of drunkenness and the use of substances, drugs, and all that Satan does use to bring men into perdition, that Thou mayest give a desire for Thyself,
for thy truth and a reading of thy word and a searching of the scriptures and all that is truly based upon them, that we might know the doctrine, that we might know the truth concerning ourselves and of thee, that holy and that righteous and that just God, and that I have become a sinner in my father Adam, and that I am from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot, wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. Oh, give us to feel the wretchedness of our hearts, how that sin is not only all about us, but that it is within us, and that it pervades us from moment to moment. Oh, that we may cry out to thee, that we may be kept from all iniquity, and that we also may be cleansed, and that we may be purged, and that we may be made into a new creature, with a new heart and a new will, that seeks and that searches after the true and the living God. Oh, Lord, look on us in thy mercy. We are undeserving of the least of all thy notice and thy attention. But wilt thou remember us for the sake of thy dear and only begotten Son? Or thou hast promised unto him a seed that shall serve him. And he is ever worthy to receive a seed that may come from the east and from the west, that may worship him forever and forever, and that thou mayest receive all the glory and all the honor. And when thou hast taken a man from such a deep pit as we have brought ourselves into, O Lord, thou knowest it all from the beginning unto the end. Oh, that thou mayest take us then by heart and by hand as a congregation, and that thou wouldest deliver us from all our iniquities, and that thou would bring us back into that blessed communion with thee. Remember thy people. Thou knowest where that they are and what the concerns of their life and their heart are. O Lord, that thou mayest hear the needy when they cry, and that thou mayest deliver their souls when death draws nigh, and that thou wouldest seek out thy people who have wandered far from thee, even as a shepherd does seek out that sheep which is lost, and that thou wouldst bring them again into thy fold, and that thou wouldest feed them, Lord, a little manna from heaven, which was so sweet as a coriander seed, Lord, and it was so helpful unto thy people. It did come as the dew upon the ground, they may gather it. O Lord, that thou mayest give such unto thy people also in the days in which we do live, and that thou mayest thyself hear their cries from heaven, thy dwelling place, and be not silent unto them, lest they become like those that go down into the pit, but that thou mayest give them a little word, a little token from heaven, that thou knowest where that they are, and who that they are, and that thou wouldest speak unto their souls, and that thou mayest give them to drink a little of that fountain of living waters, and that they may taste a little of heaven once again, and that they may magnify thy name, that they may receive a little rest upon their journey, and here below as thou dost give little Elims unto thy true people, that thou mayest give servants more in the midst of the congregations and the mission fields to labor and to bring in thy church. Remember all that labor in thy kingdom from Sabbath to Sabbath, and that thou mayest bless the instruction that may be given unto the ignorant, and bring those that have never heard also to hear and to believe. Lord, that thou may remember us then as a denomination in thy mercy, and as a congregation, remember all afflicted ones, afflicted in mind, in body, in all the needs and cares of this world, and all the cares of this life which thou hast given families, children. Wilt thou give love to mother and father and obedience, and that thou mayest draw to thyself through all these ways. Remember us as a consistory, and those also that hope to be installed in their offices next Sabbath day, and that thou may give unto them also a little token in this week, and that thou may supply for them when they also must give their oath of office, and that thou mayest grant thy blessing upon all the labors that are put forth in the midst of us, that thou may remember also our government care for those that make decisions on our behalf, those that represent the people within the government, of the federal government, of the provincial government, and all levels, all judges. Wilt thou fill them with the fear of thee, that they may do their labors rightly in the fear of thy name and according to thy holy law. And wilt thou help us also this hour, and that all things may be done decently and in order in thy house, that we may receive wisdom, strength, and thy Holy Spirit, that thou wouldst grant us a little unction, a word to speak for thy church, a word of warning that may be heeded by the power of thy most Holy Spirit, and a word of instruction, and a word of comfort, a word of drawing, and that all may be and redound to the glory and the magnification of thy thrice worthy name. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 240, stanzas 1 and 3. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance. In thy mercy, answer me. Full of troubles and affliction, nigh to death my soul is brought. Helpless, like one cast forever from thy care and from thy thought. 1 and 3 of Psalter 240.
All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. That speaks, congregation, of three persons: the Father and the Son and God's people. Three persons. They are involved together in a very special covenant. Those three persons: the Father, the Son, and the elect. What covenant is that? That is the covenant of grace. A covenant that is between the Father and his people who are in Christ. Covenant of grace wherein the Son does appear as the surety of his elect. There is no happiness in this whole world. You seek happiness, children, young people, fathers and mothers, where do we seek it? Happiness. We seek happiness in this world. Where is it to be found? There is only one place it can be found. The Lord Jesus says, this is life. Do you live life? What is life? This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Do you believe that? That is now the only true happiness that a person can have? You say, I believe it. If we believe it, it will show in our life. Because if that is then the only happiness, and we truly believe that, then we will be seeking that we may also obtain that happiness. There is an intimate knowledge between the Father and the Son. The Son says of himself and his Father that they are one. Thus they know one another as one. Do you ever feel what a misery it is to stand on the outside of that knowledge? The knowledge that the Son may have of his own Father. But Christ declares here his commission. He is given a commission by his own Father. What does he say? He says, all things are delivered me of my Father. For what? All things. What is he now to do? Well, he is to give that knowledge of his Father unto his people, that they might know him, and that they might receive that true happiness. What is now in your heart? What is in your heart when you hear that the Son has been commissioned to give the knowledge of his Father unto his people. Anything turn there in your heart? Anything begin to burn in your heart with a desire that you also may receive that blessed knowledge? Our text can be found in the last verses of the chapter that was read to you, Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So far the words of our text. The invitation of Christ to come unto himself. First, the objects of this invitation. We read, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Second, the instruction in this invitation. We read, come unto me and take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. The instruction in this invitation. And last, the promise. In this invitation, we read, and I will give you rest, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The invitation of Christ to come unto himself. First, the objects of this invitation. Second, the instruction in this invitation. And third, the promise in this invitation. Our text congregation is an invitation. Come unto me. Is that not a great wonder? If we may hear about the origin of our misery. Is that not a great wonder? Because there was a time when we read that our first parents were sent out of the Garden of Eden. And they had to depart from the immediate presence, the felt presence of the Lord. They had to go out from this. Is that not understandable? That the Lord was not able to dwell with his creature anymore because he had made himself so filthy that the holiness of God was not able to exist with him. Do you ever feel this? How rightfully that the Lord has sent also us in a personal way. Out of that Garden of Eden. How rightfully that the Lord does leave a person over to himself as he goes onward corrupting and polluting himself in his own sin. But now we read, come unto me. Who can fathom the greatness of this invitation? The greatness for our temporal life. The greatness for that great eternity. And who is it that does extend that invitation that is not a man? Were you ever invited by a man to come to him. It would be a wonder if we were invited by a great man in this world to come to him, by a president, by a king. We would not even expect that, just as common people in the world. And now it is God. And now it is the Son of God himself that does extend this invitation, no comparison, to an invitation that may be received in this entire world. You say that maybe does that invitation also come to me? That is a good question. That is a good question. Is it also myself that is so invited by the Lord Jesus? Why is that a good question? Because the invitations of Christ have an address. They are not just spoken into the air. No, they are spoken specifically to certain persons. That is also the threatenings. That is also the judgments of the Lord. The Lord said, "Woe unto you, Pharisees and scribes." Did not say that to his people. Those who are of weak faith. He did not say, "Woe unto you." No. No, the threatenings, the judgments of the Lord, they are also addressed. Were they ever addressed to you? Because by nature we want to take unto ourselves these invitations of Christ when it is actually the judgments of Christ which are addressed unto us. And if we might only acknowledge that those are addressed unto us, oh, then there may come a time also that those invitations are also spoken unto our own soul. There are some that will say, well, these invitations, they are inviting everyone in the world. Is that so, young people? Is that right doctrine? It is not, right? Because many in the world don't even hear them. Never even comes to their ears. And thus they never receive that invitation. The stars, the glory of the world that speaks not of the invitations of Christ. Do we ever feel the privilege that we may be brought up under that truth? But it is also a responsibility when it is coming to our ears. So the Lord Jesus was speaking in this chapter. He says it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment when we do not heed the things that are coming to our ears. Is it then that those invitations of Christ are coming to everyone that is under the gospel? That is a good question. Is that so? Congregation, we need to be addressed. Are we addressed? We all hear it with our ears. But it is spoken to certain persons. And those persons are the ones that by the Spirit of the Lord will receive ears to hear those invitations. Thus, it is in a certain way true that outwardly to the ear they come to all under the gospel. But it is not so that they are directed to each and every one. The Lord Jesus did not say simply to the rich young ruler, "Come unto me." What did he say to him? He said, "Go. Go. Go and sell all that thou hast, and then come." and follow me. What did he say to him? That is not the way to be received. When you come with all this in your hands, then you do not need me. Thus, the Lord instructs how a person must come unto him. The Pharisees and the scribes, he said the same. He said, go. Go and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Oh, were they then called? Was that rich young ruler called to come to him? Oh, certainly. But not in that way. He was called to come to him in a different way. He was called to come to him as a sinner. Not as a righteous man, but as a sinner before God. The Lord says, only acknowledge thine iniquity that thou hast sinned against me. That is how all that are called, that are under the gospel, that is how all are called to come unto him. And that is why those invitations of Christ, they have an address. The Lord Jesus says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And our text that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. That is so important. Why? Because the wicked are bold. They're bold. They're ready to take it. And God's people, well, they are timid. And why? Because the Lord humbles his people. There you see Esther. There she is standing just inside the door. She's standing far away. She does not dare to approach Esther. Who is she? That is his wife. We would say that is the bride. Even she. Oh, yes, especially she. Oh, it is that bride of Christ that is taught in that way of true humility and that is not bold to come unto him. And that is the reason that Christ, he must speak unto her. And he must draw her with his invitations, that she would not be afraid to draw nigh unto himself. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What does it mean? To labor, that is to grow weary. That is to grow tired with toil, with burdens, with griefs. To be heavy laden, that is to have a burden, a load upon us. So Pilgrim's Progress, that is what Bunyan drew, a great burden, we read, upon his back. Outwardly, when the Lord Jesus came unto that Jewish people, that was a time of great burdens. They were burdens the Lord had laid upon his people in the time of the Old Testament. Time and again, the people, they were bringing their sheep, they brought their oxen, they brought all their sacrifices, time and again, never ending. Sacrifices upon sacrifices upon sacrifices. What a burden. Then all the laws, the particular laws of the ceremonies, that is a burden that the apostle says that neither our fathers, nor we, he says, were able to bear. But there is even more. Because the Pharisees made it even heavier. They added to their yoke. They took their own laws and they placed them on top of those laws of the Lord, precept upon precept, line upon line, that everyone had to obey. Oh, Christ came that he may deliver his people from that ceremonial law. How did he do that? You know, boys and girls, right? How did the Lord Jesus deliver his people from that law, the ceremonial law? Well, he became the sacrifice, or it was a morning sacrifice and an evening sacrifice. 9 o'clock in the morning, he was raised upon that tree for 6 hours. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, he died. And thus he came to fulfill. And when he fulfilled, then he has taken away the necessity of all that labor and all that burden that he has placed upon that people. Not only what he has placed on that people rightly, but he came to deliver them from those precepts that were unjustly laid upon them by the Pharisees and the scribes, upon which the people, they had grown so very, very weary. But it is not only the ceremonial law merely that he came to deliver his people from, but it is especially to deliver the invisible church from the burden that is laying upon them in the moral law. That is that under which that people have grown so weary. And why? Because they have received it as that law that was given under a broken covenant. Oh, then that law was demanding of that people. Does it demand of you? Because without holiness, the Lord says, no man shall see the Lord. Do you work with that? Does that cause you anxiety? Does that cause you grief? That holy law of God, a holy law which is demanding and that we cannot fulfill, a holy law that promises and yet you can never receive, a holy law that curses, that you can find no way to escape. A debt that is only increasing as a load, as a burden upon the back. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, laboring with what? Laboring with eternity. Do you labor with eternity? Laboring with guilt. Do you labor with guilt? And now, to distinguish, laboring with the power of sin, with the filth of sin, with the corruption of sin, has that now ever become a burden unto your own soul, that you labor under that burden? Has there ever come a tear in your eye? A holy grief because you sin against God? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, who labor with fears of hypocrisy, who labor with fears of self-deceit, heavy laden, it says. Maybe with fears, because the Lord teaches his people that it is actually much worse than I feel. Then they see that there is so much that they do not see and that is against that holy and that righteous God, then the estimation of Him that has become so high, oh, then there are self-accusations that are about what is living with the inmost recesses of their heart. Oh, do you labor? Do you labor with vanity? Is that a burden to you ever? How that the world draws your heart? Do you labor with a carnal spirit that you say, oh, if only at all times there would be that right desire after God, that word of the Lord would be in every moment of my life a treasure, that I would never in my life again have a drawing after anything that was vain or carnal, that was empty, that was without substance? All ye that labor and are heavy laden, oh, with vows that they are going to change, and with grief, and that it does not change, because sin that is not only outward, but that evil and that vanity that is all within, all ye that labor, those labors are so diverse. What is your secret sin that is for one different than it is for another? What is your personal sin? Because the Apostle Paul, he said, because I persecuted the church of God. He had to labor with that. Will you remember that, young people? Oh, I have heard last week something that was shocking to me. Our young people, how do we live? Do we desecrate our own bodies, lying with one another? Young people, Satan is so subtle. Do you know where he wants you? He wants you with himself. Do you understand, young people, how wicked that is? And in so many ways, Satan tries to make that just normal. That is the day you are living in. Normal. That is not the way we were created. And God's word says that a whoremonger and an adulterer, they shall not enter into the kingdom of God. All your whole life long, you're going to have to live with that. You're going to have to live with that. Will you remember that? And will you stay away as far as you can from that sin and all sin? Oh, that the Lord may give you labor, that you might labor with truth, that you might labor with righteousness. Also the clothing, girls and boys. And boys, all of us, covered, modest. A man is a man. A woman is a woman. That is the way that the Lord says in His holy word. And when we depart in these things, we sink. We sink further and further away from what? The knowledge of God. That true happiness that can yet be received all we that labor. Paul, he says, I persecuted. That was what he had to live with. You read of that prodigal, he says, I have wasted my father's substance. Ephraim, he says, what have I any more to do with idols? All the one sin is secret. The other sin is committed with a high hand. And now what does the Lord say? He says, all ye that labor, he limits it to those who labor and are heavy laden. But he includes them all. Every single one of them. And what does he say to them? He says, come unto me. He gives them instruction. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Come unto me, who am anointed by my Father for that express purpose that he has desired of me, that I may bring that people back unto him, and that I may give to them that blessed knowledge of myself. I have been appointed for this work. I have been elected by my Father because I have the qualifications, because I am God, and he has given me the qualifications that I did not have, that I needed to be a man. And so the Father has labored in it. The Father has decreed it. The Father has given all that was necessary that I may work it out. And I have done it. That work is finished. I have labored on the earth. Therefore, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Then you do not need to stay away from me. What did Joseph say when his guilty brothers were standing before him? They had sinned against him. Did he know that? He felt it like no other. It cut him to his heart. His own brothers sold him into Egypt. And now he says, in their guilt, come. Come. Come near unto me. That was his desire. Also, Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor. You have cut me to my heart. You have cut my Father to his heart. And what you have done against us, he does not minimize the sin of his church. No, it is what it is. And yet he says, come unto me, that ye might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. Learn of me, because I am the appointed prophet of the Lord. Come to me for instruction, and I will give it to you, and I will teach you, if you will but sit at my feet, I will teach you that tender fear of the Lord. And what is pleasing unto me, and what is pleasing unto my Father, ye that labor and that are heavy laden, you who are grieved because of your iniquity, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and my Father, he has hidden it from the wise and the prudent, but he reveals it unto babes. And thus I will have compassion on those who are ignorant, and I will teach them, and I will bring those slow learners, those who over and over again are falling and grieving and falling and grieving. And that we would say, a man in this world, he just can't get it together. And now that people, all the patience, Christ says, I am meek and I am lowly of heart for those simple ones who need that instruction, for the foolish ones. And I will give you a place there in my school. And I will gather you with the rest of my class, that class that desires understanding, that desires that the scriptures might be opened, and that their understandings also may be opened, that I may teach you the things that concern myself, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Let us sing 284, 2 and 3. Good is the Lord and full of kind compassion, most slow to anger, plenteous in love. Rich is his grace to all that humbly seek him, boundless and endless as the heavens above. 2 and 3 of Psalter 284.
Thank you.
invitation of Christ to come unto himself. First, the objects of this invitation. Second, the instruction in this invitation. And finally, the promise in this invitation. What do we read? And I will give you rest, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Rest for your souls. What do that people need more than rest for their souls? Do you need rest for your soul? You say, what is my soul? Maybe. Maybe we never think about our soul. Maybe we only ever think about our body. Especially if we are young, boys and girls. Do you ever think about your soul? You shall find rest for your souls, not for your bodies, it says. Paul says, there remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. And who needs and who desires that rest for their soul more than those who labor and are heavy laden? And who provides that rest? Not themselves. The Lord provides that rest. We read how that the Lord has instituted the Sabbath. The Sabbath day, 1 in 7 days. The sabbatical month, Feast of Trumpets. The sabbatical year, and then 7 times 7 years. In the year of Jubilee, 2 years in a row, the land has rest. And thus, the Lord is signifying the rest that he is giving unto his people. Special because many of those things belonging not only to the moral law, but also to the ceremonial law that was not given to the whole world and all the nations. But the Lord is giving rest unto his own church. All of great significance. The Lord providing that true rest for his people. And where is that now found? In all those feasts, there had to be more sacrifices, special sacrifices that were brought. Thus, it was found in the sacrifice that was portrayed already in the Old Testament, wherein the Lord already said to those who labored and were heavy laden, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What now is that rest? That is now not a life without a yoke. Because that is not promised to God's people. It is the opposite. Because the Lord Jesus said to his disciples that it is through much tribulation that they will enter into the kingdom of God. But what does Christ say? He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke. He does not say no yoke. He says my yoke over against that yoke that I will deliver you from. He says those two yokes, they are different. That yoke, he says, was very hard. And I am going to take that yoke from off of you. And I am going to give you another yoke. But my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. So what is that hard yoke that Christ came to deliver his people from? Well, we spoke about that visible church. He spoke about all that burden of all those ceremonies, and from that time after, when Christ has gone back up into heaven, children, then we do not sacrifice anymore. And his church is delivered from that yoke. Is that all? No, that is not all. A much greater yoke. That Christ is delivering his invisible church from. And that is from the curse of sin and also from the commission of sin. That is from the guilt of sin and also from the pollution of sin. That is not only justification, but that is also the blessed life of sanctification. Thus, by faith, the church experiences rest when it comes unto Christ. He says, come unto me, and I will give you rest. You say, how does a soul know when it has truly come unto Christ? Well, it knows it by the fruits. He says, I will give you rest. He does not say, take that rest. He says, I will give it to you. He says that you shall find that rest. Now, what is that rest? In the original language, that means to lay it down. To lay it down. So when there is a great burden, then it is coming off the back and it is laid down. So we ask, congregation, then we ask, do we know what that is? By faith, to receive a moment's rest. By Christ. Because when the Lord is revealing unto the babes, what is he doing? Or when he is drawing them by faith to come to him, when he is showing unto them himself, or then they may see him with an eye of faith. And when they may see him, and when they may see that it is grace, 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 oh, then for a moment, then they receive rest. For a moment, that burden, or that is, as it were, being taken from their shoulders, then they experience, they do not have to do that, young people, remember that, because there is so, the devil is subtle. And they say today, you have to now believe, and you have to, and you have to, and you have to. Oh, we do not deny that. We ought to. But now the ability, that is something else. And thus we say, if your soul has ever truly been given to come unto Christ, then you will know it by this, by a rest that you have found, that you have found, and by a rest that has been given unto you. And every one of you who has ever experienced one moment of this in your life understands what I'm speaking about. Then you understand it. Because then you will say, oh, that is what happened. That is now what it was. And then for a moment I could see him in all that he has accomplished, in his act of obedience, in his passive obedience, or whatever little portion of it, when he has looked through the lattice upon me, and when I have seen him through the lattice, maybe just a little part, not everything, but then all, then it has opened to me. And then I have seen what I have never seen before. And then, oh, for a moment, the rest that I have received, the hope of my soul, and my soul has gone out to that blessed mediator. Oh, then I understood in that moment what the Lord had done for his people. Oh, in that moment, then it was as if it was good now between God and my soul. Oh, it didn't stay that way. It didn't stay that way. But I did see it. I did see it for a moment. And then I may say a little, not only what that burden was and is, but that I may say a moment what it was in that moment of true faith, when I truly may believe in him. Oh, then I may say it is so true what the Lord says in his word. And when he says that he will give you rest, oh, then the Lord is a fulfiller of his own word. Is there then no yoke for that people? Oh, there is. There is yet a yoke for that people, but it is very different. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that is the experience of that people. That is not easy for their flesh always. No, was that easy for Naomi? Far away, that she had to lose her husband, that she had to lose her two sons. That was not easy. But Ruth saw that there was something there in that suffering that made her different from everyone else that she knew, her own father and her mother. Job, what did the Lord place on Job? Was that easy? Mephibosheth is lame on both his feet. Did the Lord cure him? No. No. But so he sat there, day by day at the king's table. Those are persons. You ask them about their burden. Oh, then they say, my burden is easy, and my yoke is light. Paul and Silas, they sang. They were in the prison. Their feet were in the stocks. They sang. Why? Because it is so true. The Lord is true. There is nothing you will find in that holy word of God that is not true. And so they could sing. They could sing when all men were against them. They could sing and when death was coming unto them. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Oh, how difficult is it for that people to bear that burden when the Lord says, this is now what I place on you for the rest of your life. And sometimes they may say, oh Lord, I thank thee. I thank thee. Why? Because if there was no rod, what would I do? Oh, that rod that is good for me. Because, oh, that life of sanctification, I wish then I could live so perfect. I wish I could live so according to his holy law. And sometimes then I need that rod to keep me from going in this direction and to keep me from going in that direction. And so sometimes the people, they can kiss that rod that the Lord is smiting them with, because it is thereby that they may receive the greatest blessings of the Lord, that they might live that life of holiness that they are looking forward to, when that life of sanctification may be complete, when they may leave this body of sin behind them, and when they may be raised in incorruption. Oh, and I will give rest. And I will give rest unto your souls. Oh, congregation, what is your burden? What is your burden? Do you have a burden? Maybe you say, I don't have a burden. But there are so many burdens. There are burdens of weakness. There are burdens of sickness. There are burdens in families. There are burdens of parents. There are burdens also of children. Do you have no friends, young people? Are you all alone? Maybe there are husbands and wives. They even have no children. Oh, burdens no end, because sin has no end. But if they are the only burdens we have, then we do not have that burden that Christ will deliver his people from. But what did David say? He said, I am evil, born in sin, and thou desirest truth within. Is there anything in your heart that is burdened with David? What was Paul's burden? That was the same. He said, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That was his burden. They were not natural burdens they complained of. They were burdens of the soul. And it is now the soul that the Lord Jesus is speaking about, that he says he will deliver the souls of those who have such burdens. And that's what does Christ say? Oh, he has said it already by Isaiah the prophet long ago. It didn't change from the Old Testament to the New. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken, he says, diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Oh, that is now for that people. Oh, not for those bold ones. No, he says, but when there are those truly in your heart that must testify of that burden, oh, then he says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is thy own blessed truth. We have fallen away from thee, and it is such a wonder, and that such a word can be brought unto us. Oh, show unto us our wretchedness, our guilt, our filth, our pollution. Make it a burden unto us, and that we might go and learn what that meaneth. He will have mercy and not sacrifice. Oh, that we might go and sell all that we have and then come and follow thee. Bless thy word. Forgive all our many sins and help us in this day to keep thy day holy, that we may desire to read what is based upon thy holy word, or to sing thy praises, and that thou would help us in the week to come. Remember us also when we must travel unto the classes meeting in this week. Wilt thou help the candidate and all that are round about and those others that are delegated to that meeting, and bring us safely to our flock once again. Make thou all things well, also with those who are weak and ailing, and those who need thee in special ways. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 426, 2, 4, 7, and 9. The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul by grief and sorrow riven. I turned in my
Distress to God in prayer, 2, 4, 7, and 9 of 426.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.